77-63 in Wisconsin.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, we've got a dust up right now. Jawan Howard and Greg Gard, we're going nose to nose.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Yo, Jawan Howard just threw a right hand. And now we got a scrub.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I didn't like the timeout being called.
Today's guest, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. ESPN college basketball analyst, Jay Billis. Plus, Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee, Dick Vermeil. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I am your humble host back here in the chair, tanned and rested, but more tanned than rested, to be very honest with you.
Tanned and rested.
Good to see everybody. Good to see all, one and all, here on this busy Monday. A very special thank you to my lovely wife, Susie Schuster, for sitting in this chair on Thursday and Friday. Marshall Faulk on Thursday. Kara Henderson-Snead on Friday. Felt like I hadn't left.
Rich Eisen. Oh, that's Susie Eisen's husband.
Charles Barkley called in. Shaq called in. Jerry West called in. And so it was terrific. And Susie was great. And I appreciate all you guys for helping hold down the fort as well.
Yeah.
And you guys being Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo. Good to see you, gents. TJ Jefferson, how are you? Light the candle, sir.
Well, Rich, I'm just going to tell you this. You're about two Mai Tais away from being Wally Pipped by your own wife
on
your own
that.
Show. I'm just going to say
I
that.
I appreciate
to you,
you saying that, and I greatly appreciate that. And the Mai Tais are especially appreciated. So lots going on in the world of sports. Yesterday, the NBA held their All-Star game, 75th anniversary all-time team. The NBA 75. Chris Paul playing in an All-Star game, but he's out for the next 6 to 8 weeks for his actual team.
What was that?
There was a lot going on over the weekend with the dunk contest, three-point contest. Also, it looks like there's a potential boycott of the combine coming, the NFL scouting combine coming. And then in college basketball, Wisconsin beat Michigan. And then
there was more to that story.
It seemed like there was other things that happened.
Oh, yeah, I forgot the final score.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's jump into it.
Mike, your tweet was pretty funny.
What was his tweet?
Michigan is now a boxing school. Okay.
Great. Yeah. That's great.
Pretty good, Mike.
You still lost in 1989, Mike. Regardless of all that,
we didn't box though.
So
you didn't have enough hooligans on your team, Mike.
Look. Well, let me just jump right into this right off the bat because I know you're a Michigan guy and all that business. I'm a Michigan guy, and people want to know maybe what I think. And if you don't, here it comes anyway. But thanks for watching the Rich Eisen Show. Jawan Howard shouldn't have thrown anything. Shouldn't throw the punch. And I know there's so many other conversations coming out of it. You know, Michigan shouldn't have trapped because if they hadn't trapped at the end of a game where it was all over, then Wisconsin wouldn't have called a timeout. And Wisconsin didn't really need to call a timeout, so they shouldn't have called a timeout, but they did anyway. Pissed off Jawan Howard. But the only reason why Jawan Howard is pissed is because he trapped anyway. So the trap actually forced the timeout. And then, then comes the conversation on the handshake line. And Jawan Howard was stopped. He actually got touched by Coach Greg Gard, who shouldn't have touched him, but he was trying to actually explain something to him, even though it's a handshake line and Jawan had no intention of talking to him, didn't want to hear from him, and he got touched by Greg Gard. And then that set things off, and then so on and so forth. Doesn't matter. None of what I just said matters when a head coach throws a punch or a hand or an open hand.
Slap.
Whatever you want to call it. A slap or a mush. I've seen so many other ways
definitely
to describe
not a punch, though, Rich.
He shouldn't have thrown a hand. My coach should not be throwing hands. Any coach should not be throwing hands. That's the end of it. And then, you know, anybody who throws a hand and then makes excuses for throwing the hand makes it worse. This was my coach, Jawan Howard, after the game yesterday. Everybody's seen it. We talked about it. You've heard nonstop shows talking about it. And we're doing it now, too, because this is fodder for our sports world. And it is a part of a conversation writ large about civility in the world and what we expect of our leadership. This was Jawan Howard afterwards.
I didn't like the timeout being called, and I'll be totally honest with you. I thought it was not necessary at that moment, especially being in a large lead. And then would have the timeout be called with 3 seconds, 4 seconds to go. You know, I thought that that was, you know, what I felt wasn't fair to our guys. And so that's what happened. You know, I addressed with the head coach that I will remember that because of that timeout. And for someone to touch me, and I think that was very uncalled for him to touch me as we were verbalizing and communicating with one another. So that's what ended up happening. And that's what escalated it.
What all I want to say is this. You can't throw a hand. Kids are all around there. What if he had hit, what if his hand had hit a kid?
No, it's Woody Hayes, and then it's over.
Then it's over. And I don't think it should be over. I don't want it to be over. How does that sound? I'm a Michigan alum. I know what this guy has done for my school. I know who he is. I know what he stands for. I know everything about Juwan Howard. And I know he went after the Maryland coach last year, and this isn't the first time. And that stinks. This is not what Michigan sports should be about. It's not what any sport should be about. I don't want him fired. Okay? I don't want this program to be upended by this mistake that he has, is my, in my opinion, has earned the right to have a suspension and not a firing. I've seen so many people say this is a fireable offense. And you're like, well, it could have hit a kid. And then you'd fire him because that would then boil it down to just the punch or the hand or the mush or the slap or whatever you want to call it. But when there's a bunch of kids right around you, and I understand heat of the moment, and somebody put their hands on him, but you're still the head coach of the University of Michigan's college basketball team, and you can't throw a hand. So a suspension is forthcoming, and it's going to come, I guess, before Wednesday, because that's Michigan's next game. And I understand this is a frustrating season for my team, man. You know, last year, we made it deep into the tournament. That game against UCLA was dynamite. You know, it was a little hard on the eyes in terms of lack of scoring. But the fact that Juwan Howard can coach and he can coach this team and he knows he's proven he can be a big-time coach in this league. But he's got an anger issue with other coaches that I think is a problem. And this is not the way our program should be talked about. And he knows that. And there's no question he knows that. And the fact that Wisconsin was putting the bang thing on Michigan that can't seem to get some sort of traction like previous years, it's got to be frustrating. And then the head coach who called a timeout with a few seconds to go because, as Greg Gard said, he didn't want to put his backups in a position where they would turn the ball over because he's put his backups in. Michigan's kept their starters in and they're pressing. So he called a timeout with a few seconds to go. And that pissed Juwan Howard off. And Juwan Howard had no intention of talking to this man. And this guy stopped him. And then that led to Juwan sticking his finger in Greg Gard's face saying, I'll remember this. And Gard had every right to basically say, well, then why the hell did you press with a few seconds to go?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Like, I don't call timeout if you don't press. And again, these are, you hear the parsing of, well, you know, Greg Gard escalated it by not letting Juwan walk by. That's true. But the ultimate escalation is the throwing of a hand by a head coach of a big-time college basketball program. That's just, as the athletic director, Ward Manuel, said, not acceptable. So what is acceptable? I would proffer to say in a suspension for the rest of the season. Michigan players are now in line for getting suspended because they were ending up throwing punches to try and defend their head coach, which I don't blame them for doing.
Yeah.
You know, kids are now in the process of being held accountable for the actions of grown men, including the assistant coach of Wisconsin. These are supposed to be the adults in the room. So I don't want Juwan Howard fired. I didn't sit there for a single second and think this is untenable and that we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube and that this guy can't still be the head coach of the University of Michigan, because there are decades of meritorious service in support of the school as well as communities that Juwan Howard has touched. Those are my two cents on this. I don't want him fired. I want him back, and I want him to still be the head coach of this team, and I want him to learn from this experience. And he could sit there and go, I'm a grown-ass man. I've learned all I need to know is don't call timeout on me and don't put hands on me when I'm trying to walk past you. And that actually just totally abdicates the fact that he threw a hand in the middle of a bunch of kids around him. And they're grown men, too, but we call them kids because they are in relation to the age of Juwan Howard and Greg Gard and his staff. So, what say you? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. And it was embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the school. It's embarrassing for the program. It's embarrassing for everybody in Maize and Blue. I can't deny that. It's the last thing I want. I was so looking forward to maybe Michigan making a nice little run and making the tournament here. They're staring down the NIT right in the face. And, you know, I just wish in a way Greg Gard would have basically said, let's talk later on, and did not put hands on Juwan. But that doesn't abdicate Juwan Howard from throwing a punch, man. Or slap or what have you.
I'm wondering if this is a different school, a different player.
Do I have a different opinion?
No, I'm wondering if the outcry for firing would be different, or if he was a white coach. I'm just kind of thinking out loud.
No, I hear what you're saying, Christopher. It doesn't matter if you what you are or who you are when it comes to being a coach, but it does in terms of, for me, at the school, yeah. This is one of the Fab Five. This is one of the Fab Five. And when you have a family and somebody in the family has a problem moment, you don't excommunicate them. It's a high crime. And this is something that for a head coach, you can't do. Thank God he didn't really connect. And thank God he didn't hit a player. You know?
I don't mean for you personally. I just mean kind of in general for the college basketball and the sports world. If this was not Juwan Howard.
Yeah,
but
somebody wasn't a famous college basketball player and a famous NBA player. And, you know, I personally
not a famous program like Michigan.
I don't think race has anything to do with it. Bob Knight put his hand on his own son's neck, you know,
and he was doing. That was a practice video that got leaked.
That's true. I'm just saying that Bob Knight did many, many things from his position that we talked about.
True.
And
it cost him his job.
And it did cost him his job because he put his hand on a player.
24 years of buildup finally cost him his job.
I'm sitting here as a Michigan guy, and I said everything I just said, and I don't want the man fired. I don't want him fired. I don't think this is a fireable offense for Juwan Howard at the University of Michigan. And we'll see what the Big Ten does first and see what Michigan does on top of it. Although I think Michigan should act first, personally.
Yeah, they should act today. I mean, you can't wait on this.
They have till Wednesday. And then we'll see what Michigan can do. Maybe they can rally around the coach not being there and make a run and see, you know, do you allow Juwan back for any postseason play? I say you suspend him for the rest of the regular season. That's my two cents.
How many games are left in the regular season?
Five.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking that's a lot. I was thinking like 10, but five is, you know, that's not too
bad. If you want, you could suspend him for the Big Ten tournament, too.
Yeah, which could be
one. I mean, you could do that, too. Again, a head coach with pushing and shoving, and you could say, well, they started it because they called a timeout that pissed us off. And they could say, well, you didn't have to trap, did you? And then you could say, you know, he came at me in the on the line, and I knew this was confrontational, and I was ready to walk past him. I wasn't going to stop him. I didn't go seek him out. He's the one who came to me, and when I'm trying to walk past him, he's like, hang on a minute, and put his hands on me. And that pissed me off. Well, then you need to be the bigger man around a bunch of other players and not throw a hand. But I love the guy. He's part of the Michigan family, and I don't want him fired for it. How about this? The third time could be the last strike. And I know somebody was saying to me that it's happened another time before. That escapes me. I don't know when that was.
With Juwan?
Yeah. Oh. I remember it was Maryland last year. He got kicked out of a Big Ten game in the tournament. Can't keep happening.
Yeah, you got to have the right temperament for this.
So that's my two cents on this. Later on, I want to talk about the handshake line because that's now been discussed. Like maybe we shouldn't have that anymore. We can discuss all of it with you. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial here on this President's Day Monday. Albert Breer is going to join us next. My colleague from Sports Illustrated, because the Combine, apparently, a bunch of agents are saying that the Combine needs to be boycotted because of a very tight COVID seal being placed around the players. I have a couple of cents on that. And Albert's going to join us on that quarterback carousel I was talking about before I tapped out for a couple of days last week.
It's coming.
Jay Billis to discuss everything that we just talked about. Okay. In hour number two, the conscience of NCAA sports, college sports, Jay Billis.
Should be their grand poobah.
Okay. He's going to join us in hour two. And in hour three, Pro Football Hall of Famer Dick Vermeil is going to tell us the time where he was once shaking hands with Chuck Knox and just cold cocked him, man. Just knocked him straight out.
I was like, where are you going with Chuck Knox?
The infamous Knox Vermeil incident.
Is it too soon?
82.
Is it all too soon?
I do believe there's
should we call that timeout, Chuck? You threw a pass
in the fourth quarter.
Just knocked Chuck Knox right on his ass.
You were up 16 with 10 seconds left in the fourth.
Who would win? Hold on a second.
Chuck Knox.
Hold on.
Marv let one time on, that Marv on. Levy and him went right at it.
80s coaches battle royal.
Buddy Ryan.
Who wins?
Buddy Ryan.
But Buddy Ryan wasn't very tall.
Yeah, but he was scrappy, though, dog. He's like, he was that little dude. Buddy Ryan seems the type, like, he would bite you. He would do the kneecap bite.
Guys, never forget how scrappy Marion Campbell could be.
Marion Campbell. Yeah.
You got to throw Ditka in the mix.
Joe Walton.
You know?
Ditka, I think, is our winner.
85 Ditka?
85 Ditka takes everyone in a Royal Rumble.
Now you guys sound like the Swirsky brothers.
Yeah.
Hurricane Ditka versus Mike Ditka. All right. We're taking a break.
Macho Man Mike Ditka.
We're taking a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Albert Breer, when we come back, Dick Vermeil, actually, is going to be in hour number three. Yeah. He is in Pro Football Hall of Famer, Dick Vermeil, and a fantastic vintner in his own right. We'll talk about Vermeil wines and Dick Vermeil and so much more. Oh, by the way, there's an overreaction Monday.
Yeah,
I have some stories from my couple days away. I think you guys will get a kick out of
it. I don't think Chris wants to hear those, Rich.
And there's an incredible story.
Lucky I showed up today.
From the Olympics. That I've got to bring your way.
Oh goodness!
It's definitely something you guys have not heard, it's going to be something I think that could go viral. I'm not going to lie, conversation that I'm a little bit nervous about even bringing up to you guys.
Oh goodness!
That's all coming up here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, being the old number to dial. Before we go, I want to talk to you about Callaway Rogue. Every golf equipment company claims to be long or off the tee, but Callaway's new Rogue ST driver is the only one built to completely bomb it. It's been speed-tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge, which gives you more speed on off-center hits and provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. In other words, if you need a little bit of help off the tee, this is your stick. And I do. It's so good because it's just the beginning. Callaway's engineered a Rogue ST for every player. Most golfers fit into the Max because of that incredible combination of distance and forgiveness I was telling you about. But there's the Max D for more shot shape correction. You need something more low spin. There's Max LS, gives you stronger trajectory, more neutral ball flight. But for the true players out there, there's the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS, compact low spin head that the tour players love. Callaway has thought through every aspect of speed, people. So all you have to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at CallawayGolf.com/GoRogue. Albert Breer when we come back. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial for our terrestrial radio listeners. Boy, did you just miss something? All right.
Funny, the original title for 16 Candles was...
No, stop. All right. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Albert Breer?
Yeah, there's a lot of bad math out there for you guys. I mean, I think 3 or 4 months. So 3 or 4 weeks old for the Miracle on Ice. So that one's a natural for me. And then I have played that game. I think it was Brockman that you were saying, like, where you play the, this movie is this old.
Yes.
Yeah, now go and backwards.
Then,
yeah.
And then that movie was that old back then, you know, like, yeah. And that's a really dangerous game to play. That'll make you feel ancient.
I know.
I can't believe old school is 19 years
19
old.
Years old. I saw that in the commercial break. I'm like, I cannot believe old school is almost a 20-year-old movie. Because that,
nuts. I mean, like, and I actually, like, you know, what I was immediately thinking was, now am I older than the guys in old school? I think I am, right? Like, because I think those guys were supposed to be in their 30s, right? Is that right?
Oh, or, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're all older than them now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, so, yeah, it's pretty depressing.
Okay, Albert, let's jump into this with both feet. What is going on with the combine right now? Because that's going down. I'm at the combine a week from tomorrow, getting ready to call that thing on NFL Network. Am I going to have 180 fewer people to discuss on NFL Network?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, Rich, because I think there are a couple things that the players are taking issue with here. And to be honest, like I've talked to some teams, too, that aren't happy about it. And really, like, what a lot of this is about is notice, you know, like that the players are finding out about this a week ahead of time. You know, they're really upset about it, like, and the agents are upset about it. And so the biggest issue really is that, you know, for 2-3 months, every one of these prospects, the top guys, the guys who are invited to Indianapolis, have these teams of people around them, right? Like, so you have your nutritionist, you have your strength coach, you have your speed coach, you have all of these different guys. And the big agencies bring those guys to Indianapolis so they can continue to work with those guys while they're going through the combine. And you and I have seen this for years. I mean, like, you know, in the convention center, you'll see, you know, a guy late at night working on his starts with his speed coach in the hallways of the convention center getting ready to run the 40 the next day. You know, like, that's a common sight. And so, like, you know, basically what the bubble is going to do to these kids is it's going to remove them from that environment they've been in for the last 2 or 3 months by taking all these specialists that they've hired away from them. And I think that that's a huge problem. The nutrition part of it's a huge problem. You know, and I just think, like, a lot of the agents and the players themselves feel like they're not being put in a position to perform at the highest level, and they're being put in this position with almost no notice. And so I think that's why it's going the way it's going. And you have a handful of power broker agents that represent, you know, a relatively large percentage of the players threatening to pull their guys out. And I think the question is going to become, I mean, like, look, like your Aiden Hutchinsons, your Evan Neals, your Kayvon Thibodeaux, those guys can probably just unilaterally decide I'm not going, and it probably won't affect them much. You know, the guys who are put in a real difficult position, I'd say, are like the second, third, fourth round picks who have really have something to lose or gain. And that's where I think these kids are in a really, really difficult position. And it'll be interesting to see what the league does to work through this. But I will say this, you know, more than one team's pointed out to me the hypocrisy in the NFL lifting so many restrictions so it could get the Super Bowl played, yet doubling back here and putting a lot of those restrictions on kids that really don't have any power to fight it outside of this potential boycott.
You know, the interesting thing is this is part and parcel of the Combine becoming a bigger televised event.
Yep.
Is that now there's more and more people who are in the world of getting players and prospects ready for the Combine, and it's a cottage industry now.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. And so players and agents are now used to having a certain way to prepare for it. And if that's being denied these players, then maybe they'll just wait for their pro days.
Yeah.
And not go to the Combine, or just only do the medical part of it, which I think they're having a problem with as well. Walk me through that. Do all 32 teams have their specific team docs? So literally a prospect goes through 32 medical evaluations at the Combine? That still happens?
It doesn't quite happen that way, but there are, I mean, I've written about this before, and I'm drawing a blank on the exacts, but, you know, it works in pools, and everybody's got a chance. The team doctors have a chance to talk to the kids. And so, like, some of it is definitely pooled. They're not going through 32 physicals. But, you know, like, they'll get in a room, and there will be, I think the number is something like 6 or 7 team doctors there that are sort of working as, like, almost like pool reporters on what's happening. And then that information is shared. So, yeah, and I think you and I both know this, Rich, like that's the most important part to the teams, right? Like, is the medical information. And that was the biggest thing last year, was making sure that there was access to the medical information. You know, the stuff that we all hype up, you know, us at, you know, Sports Illustrated, you guys certainly at NFL Network, the 40, the bench, I mean, that's sort of down the list for the teams. What the teams really want is the medical information and then the interviews, you know? So if, you know, like, players aren't going to go through some of that, that's a real problem for each of the teams. And then, you know, you'd be talking about getting into the spring when you have an opportunity to bring in guys for visits. And now all of a sudden, you know, like the individual visits would become very, very important. And teams would have to be, I mean, real calculating about who they bring into their building to do those visits, because, you know, those visits are where you can get the individual physicals with the individual players.
Albert Breer, the MMQB here on the Rich Eisen Show. And the new league, everything is so condensed now because of that extra week. I'm beginning to feel it for the first time. Normally it's a bit of a while between the end of the Super Bowl and the Combine, and then the Combine to the new league year. But now we're on and cracking. And I know that there's no, you know, everyone feels it's the downtime or a down period, but this is when Rodgers is going to supposedly start making a decision. This is when we will maybe hear more about what's going on with Kyler Murray. Let's take both of those right now, since those are the linchpins in a way of the just how crazy this quarterback carousel might spin over the next month.
Yeah, I mean, the key day really is March 16th, which is the start of the league year, the start of free agency, and that's when you know, teams' plans start to crystallize. And so, like, that's the really important checkpoint. That said, I think we both know that there can be a domino effect, you know, and one quarterback comes off the market, and then, you know, like, that could lead to another team saying, okay, like, well, now we got to make our move for our last year. You know, Matthew Stafford, that deal wasn't executed until the middle of March, the beginning of the league year, but it was agreed to before the Super Bowl. And the Carson Wentz deal, I believe, was already done at this juncture in the calendar last year as well. And so, you know, it's going to sort of be, where's the first domino? And it just feels to me like Rodgers is going to be the first domino. Now, here's how you want to look at this. Yeah, I really feel like the personal part of the relationship between Rodgers and the Packers has been taken care of and is in a much better place than it was last year. You know, he publicly thanked Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, the two guys he had the biggest problems with last year, in his MVP speech. And I know the Packers feel like the personal issue that Rodgers had with them is if not gone, in a much better place than it was last year. And I think, you know, if you look the way it went last year, I mean, there was a period, I mean, I hate to use the kids' term ghosted, but there was a period of a month or two there where the Packers literally couldn't get a hold of Aaron Rodgers. So they're not there anymore. I think now what it's going to come down to with Rodgers is the professional part of it. Can they convince Aaron Rodgers that they'll be able to manage their cap issue? They're about $40 million over, projected to be that far over, and put the same sort of team around him they've put around him over Matt LaFleur's first 3 years. So that I think they've eliminated the personal issue, and now it's going to come down to whether or not Aaron Rodgers thinks the best thing for him professionally is to be in Green Bay.
So then before we jump to Kyler, I mean, so the Jordan Love, we've got to get him in there because we drafted him and we're going to – the clock is ticking and we absolutely need to know who we have in him. That's done? Two back-to-back yeah. MVPs have effectively neutralized the drafting of Jordan Love, you believe?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the way you want to look at it, it's similar to Brady and Garoppolo in New England, you know, where Brady just basically kept beating Garoppolo out, you know, and look, like, I think that was the first quarterback Bill took in New England where the intention was this is going to be Brady's successor. And Brady was just so good over the period of time that they had Garoppolo on a rookie contract that the timing didn't work. And so they wind up trading Garoppolo to San Francisco. It wasn't that they didn't like Jimmy. They thought Jimmy could be their starting quarterback. It was just that the timing didn't work because Brady was able to sustain success. I think the same sort of thing is playing out now in Green Bay. So, yeah, I mean, my guess would be, I mean, I think if they can find a way to keep Rodgers based on the, you know, state of their roster, how many guys they have in the prime of their careers, like, yeah, I think they'd be all ears if teams started to call and made offers on Jordan Love. I think that's the point they're probably at now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Kyler Murray.
I want to emphasize when I say that, like, that's contingent on Rodgers.
Of course. I know that. It takes two to tango, but the fact was that there was no tango, as you pointed out. There was no dance. Right. There was no nothing because there was Jordan Love there, and the fact that's no longer the come heck or high water approach by the Packers when it comes to Rodgers, that it's okay. I guess you proved us wrong with the back-to-back MVPs. We're going to stick with the program. If you're willing to stick with it, then that's a change. That's a definite shift.
And there are some moving parts there, too. I mean, I think that would be contingent on him signing an extension. You know, but if they sign him to, say, a two-year, $100 million extension, let's just throw that out there, and it's fully guaranteed, and that helps them manage their cap issue, well, then how does the timing work out with Jordan Love? You know, and that then you're basically saying Jordan Love's never going to be our starting quarterback because his rookie deal is going to be up before Rodgers is out of his guaranteed money.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's move on to Murray. What the hell, man? I mean, what's happening? I guess it's quiet now, but quiet always means something's up. That always means something's up.
Yeah, and I think it's where you are with these young quarterbacks and, you know, when they're on their rookie deals. And, you know, really, you know, the first kind of critical point is after year three. That's when they're eligible for a new deal. That's when, you know, the team has to make a decision on the fifth-year option, which is obviously a big deal now because those are fully guaranteed now. They weren't in the old CBA. And so, you know, I think for the Cardinals, there was some stuff from a leadership standpoint that left them wanting, you know. And so I don't know if Kyler actually went to the Cardinals looking for an extension. But I do think that there's, you know, like a leadership question there and being the guy for them where, you know, you can ask that question and say, is he the guy that we're willing to pay $45 or $50 million a year for? And I don't know if they have that question answered yet. Maybe they want to see a little bit more over a fourth year. And if that's your answer there, well, then to me, I think it sort of brings up the, I mean, it certainly, to me, it would bring up the question of, you know, how's the player going to accept, how's the player going to take that? And if you're Kyler Murray, you might not take that very well. So I think that's sort of where they are. And yeah, I mean, I don't know how you work that out. You know, like a lot of times things get really awkward in year four. We saw with Cleveland and Baker Mayfield, right? Like Cleveland didn't want to commit to Baker yet. And things definitely got pretty awkward in his fourth year there. You know, I think if they're going to go forward with Kyler, and I don't have any indication that they aren't at this point, I think it could be a pretty awkward thing because, you know, this is, again, sort of the point where, you know, all players, but quarterbacks in particular, are looking for their big payday. And to be fair to Kyler, the history shows, I mean, you look at Goff and Wentz in the 16 class, Watson and Mahomes in the 17 class, Allen in the 18 class. The guys that teams are really sure about, those guys get extended after year three.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on Monday, Kevin Colbert, the outgoing general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers, talked to the media. He was asked what the signing of Brian Flores to be the defensive assistant, as well as the defensive assistant coach, and then there's linebackers coach, asked what does that the hiring mean. He said it means we hired an excellent coach. So yeah. I'll ask you what it means, Albert. What does that mean?
I think it's a really good sign that Mike Tomlin's looking to inject new ideas into his building. And hiring a really good coach, you know, and I think one of the things that Flo will bring is a different set of eyes to the operation. And I think Terrell Austin, the new defensive coordinator, does that too with his Baltimore roots. But what Brian Flores will do is sort of, I think, bring the idea that maybe they don't have to be the way they've always been. Pittsburgh's been defensively always the sort of team that will try to dictate terms to an offense. Whereas, you know, where Flores is coming from, the New England background, is you change from week to week based on what your opponent does well and what your opponent's presenting you. And so I think, you know, in that way, Brian Flores is going to be able to bring a fresh set of ideas, a fresh set of eyes to everything Pittsburgh does. I think the Steelers will benefit from that. The other part of it that I really like is just the talent development aspect of it. He was so good in New England as far as developing talent, both young and old. When he's a linebackers coach, I think Kyle Van Noy and Dante Hightower were at their best. When he's a safeties coach, he helped transition Devin McCourty from a corner to safety in a position that he wound up being all pro at, resurrected Patrick Chung's career, developed Daron Harmon. So that's the other part of it. It's going to be interesting to see what this means for younger players or even veteran players. You know, like guys like TJ Watt, I think, will benefit from it. But then your younger guys, like your Devin Bush and your Minka Fitzpatrick, I think stand to really benefit from it as well.
And then the lawsuit aspect of it, what about that?
Well, the lawsuit aspect of it, I don't think – I know this. Brian Flores is a pretty principled guy, and my guess is that any sort of discussion of the lawsuit was broached by Mike Tomlin before this. And I think, you know, I can't imagine this is going to affect Brian Flores' stance on that because he is a principled guy. And, I mean, look, Rich, here's the thing, too. If there's one ownership family that's going to support him, you know, and this sort of thing, who is it? The Rooney family, right? So I don't think that should be lost on anybody either.
Well, I mean, if there's an opportunity to put a GoPro on Art Rooney walking into the owners' meeting – when that happens in March and seeing Stephen Ross, I would pay for that. I'd pay for that right now. You know, I mean, and seriously, like, okay, so you hire the guy that accuses me of tanking, you know, or giving him six figures to tank. Yeah. I wonder how that's going to sit.
You know, here's what's interesting about it though, Rich, is like, I don't know if you noticed during the change of tone in the press conference from Roger last week. I don't think, like, and I've been covering the league 17 years, I can't remember him ever openly talking about ousting an owner, let alone like going into the process of it. You know what I mean? And, you know, whether, you know, that affects Snyder or Ross or whoever else, I definitely took note of the fact that Roger was openly talking about what it would take to take a team away from an owner. Because I don't think that's something he would have done 5 or 10 years ago. And I think that tells you a little something about where things are in the ranks of owners now, where maybe there are some owners that aren't happy with the way other owners are operating. And, you know, maybe Roger feels like if it does come to the point where he does have to take out an owner, whether, again, it's a Snyder or a Ross or whoever, like, maybe he actually has the support to do something like that. That's just my read on it. Like, again, like, reading the tea leaves and having done this as long as I have, I don't know anything concrete on it, like, that he would have that support, but it just sort of feels that way based on the way he talked last week.
Albert, thanks for the time. Sounds like you got your hands full, too.
Yeah,
you're a good man.
School vacation week, so we're going to the Bruins game now, but and we got caught in traffic, so the timing didn't work out great. But we made it work. I hope I was okay.
You were great. You were great. You lit the lamp, like I hope the Bruins will, for you and your family.
There you go.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Albert. You're the best.
And I didn't even bring up Juwan Howard. So how about that?
Well, you're around kids. Don't do that. Don't throw hands when you're around children. Okay.
No, we're gonna keep our hands to ourselves.
No, I saw that you said Woody Hayes is off the hook, as if that's in any way, shape, or form in the same area code.
You know what's funny about that is how many people took that seriously. That tweet was, you know me, I was just messing around.
You put it out, but you put it out there. I put it out there.
How many? Like, I was obviously joking. I mean, this is something that happened in the 70s, and my God, the amount of people that thought I was serious about that is mind-blowing.
Albert, there's no joking on Twitter. You're aware
of this. No. Don't apply Twitter to Albert like that. Albert, you have a reputation of being a troll. You know that. You know that.
I was trolling. But at least recognize that I'm trolling. Some people were acting like I was dead serious.
You need
I
a troll font.
I was trolling.
Do you need a troll font?
Troll font.
There needs to be a troll font.
It could be like Comic Sans, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Speaking of which, we'll talk about Cleveland in the All-Star game very shortly. Absolutely. Thank you for the call, Albert. Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks, Rich.
That's Albert Breer heading to the Bruins game with his kids.
There's fighting in hockey games, so maybe he was just getting ready.
Oh, my gosh. Michigan's a boxing school now, says Mike Del Tufo. Well done.
Good hockey school.
Who'd you see that on Twitter and you stole it from?
I made that up on my own.
Okay.
100%. And I'd admit if I got it from
Thank you very good.
I did not steal
Thank you very little. Okay. We'll be back on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment. I do want to hit, before Jay Billis joins us at the top of the next hour, the whole idea that we should now just do away with the handshake in college basketball between coaches and sides. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
844-204-RICH, number to dial back here on the Rich Eisen Show. The silliest conversation coming out of what happened in Wisconsin, where my coach threw a hand at an assistant for the Wisconsin Badgers. The silliest conversation is maybe we should just do away with the handshake line. How about the handshake line should just be free of hand throwing? The only hand that is thrown is an extended hand to shake. That's it. And it's just like, but it allows two coaches who are hot under the collar to actually see one another in the flow of a very emotional game. And I just hope that the coaches could just be above it. How about we just have a handshake line where there is no at all converse, like this is not the place to hash out this timeout versus that press? How about we just don't use that moment? Greg Gard can just call Juwan later. Let him go past and call him. Like, if you want to explain yourself later on, do that in your press conference and do that on the phone. How about that one? Because there's way too many moments in our lives where civility is getting destroyed in our world. And the concept of extending a hand to somebody else, despite all of the competitive juices that are flowing, that having people shake hands after the game, because that is a tradition. I don't know who started it. I don't know why it exists. As you know, in the NBA, that does not exist. As you know, Phil Jackson used to be in the tunnel as soon as the buzzer sounded. I mean, that guy sometimes needed to unfold himself just to creak his way out of a chair and then just amble around. But he always had some giddy up getting out and just see ya, gone. And then, you know, coaches wave, or they don't even wave. They just, they're out and it's gone. And that's the way the NBA is. Now, should they institute a handshake and all that business? It's not part of the tradition. It never was. But in college basketball, it has been. Same thing in the NFL meeting at the center. And that's been, as you know, ripe for problems.
You've had arguments, you know, what's your deal? Grief for not shaking Nick Foles' hand, like, who cares?
Well, I mean, that is something to have a conversation about. If he didn't shake a hand, if he feels bad or he feels angry or upset, you can criticize someone for that sort of thing, I guess.
Chaos.
But to me, don't just throw the whole concept of sportsmanship out because it got twisted and sent awry by two guys who couldn't control themselves, one in particular. Greg Gard, just, dude, he clearly wants no piece of you. Let him go. Let him walk past. You want to explain something to him, do it another time. The handshake line where he clearly doesn't want to shake your hand, and it's obvious. Just dap him up, touch up, don't even look at him. And you could say, well, what's the point of having it in the first place? Because it teaches something to the actual players in the competition. That's why. And it's something that's been there for a long time. Could you imagine it's just like we're not doing it anymore because Juwan threw a hand? Really? And that's one thing, too. I would like to have Juwan Howard, when he does at some point say something that is a form of contrition, basically say that this sort of thing should be stay put, still institutional, not institutionalized, because people can't handle their cool. So let's stick with it. There's too much in this world that is becoming vastly uncivil. And this is something that is still 99.99% of the time very civil. And even sometimes, you know, looks like it's just a formality. But going through that formality, in my mind, is still better than just getting rid of it. I don't see how that makes any sense at all. Just provide yourself a little bit more chill. And head coaches who don't want to talk to the guy, keep trying to move. And the other head coach, read the room. He doesn't want to hear from you right now.
I don't know about that.
Read the room, man. Just let him go. And you want to say something later on, call him up, text him.
Or shake his hand.
That's what he tried to do, I guess, and move on.